This is Martin Zunder, and I'm here again with my fellow laborer, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, my trench mate and friend, Dan Sheridan.
Hey, trench mate, I'm liking that. I got my my full pack, I got my reserve chute, my weapon in hand, I'm ready to go. This is awesome.
I hope you have a shovel, too. A lot of people think they need a shovel when we're speaking, but I don't believe those lies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not to dig up dirt.
No, that's right. But you need a shovel in the trench, because we're going to dig deep into the Word of God. And again, we said this before, and we always say this: the reason we do this is not for you to be smarter; it's for you to have peace and comfort and an expectation in the midst of an eon that is designed to take your peace away.
Yeah, couldn't have said that better myself. Absolutely.
Oh, I think you probably could have said it a little better. Not much, but a little. We're talking about government, and we're in the midst of an election year, and a lot of people are losing their peace. Now, there's two extremes we can have here. We can either not care, in which I think that's an extreme, honestly, Dan. I don't know what you think about that, but...
No, I do. I care, and I'm interested I study politics and economics, and the reason why I care is not so much as, I have a different view now, especially since I started coming to see the salvation of all, and especially Paul's unique message for today, and now that I understand what the role of government is and God's plan, it gives me a lot more peace to view things. I don't get angry when it seems like, our government officials are purposely trying to destroy us. I see now that God has designed government to fail. And so I'm interested because I care for all humanity. And when we have bad government and debt, everyone suffers for it, and I don't want to see it. That's the main reason I care.
Good. Yeah, me too. Government, debt, and no one wants to see that happen. And there's enough evil in the world without bringing it on through government policies. Now, we, as you said, these are never going to be totally eliminated.
No.
Because we live in an imperfect world, and that is so great what you said, that the purpose of government is to fail and to show the failure of man. That's the role of government in God's plan. That's it in a nutshell. The role of government in God's plan, as my friend just ably stated, is to show the incapacity of man and to fail.
And that's any form of government. It's interesting when you study Scripture how much, I think I mentioned to you once before, one time when I went through the Scriptures, and I like to read through the Scriptures, and the last time I read through it, I made notes on government and economics, and God has a lot to say about these things. People think that, and I think I read this by A.E. Knox somewhere, and this is a great statement. He made the comment that God every once in a while allows a season of good government, but it only gets marred because it's not his intention today that government succeeds. And before the flood, we never had nations up until Genesis 11, and it was almost like anarchy, and that was a failure. And then human government came on the scene, and we've had all kinds. We've had oligarchies, we've had monarchies, and now we've had republics in history. And all of them at one time or another have failed, and we are living in an era, which I believe in my study of government, with the institution of the United States Constitution, that was the best form of government ever in existence. However, it failed very early, and we see the results of what we got going on today with runaway debt, inflation, all kinds of stuff, that even the best form of government is going to be marred because people. And
well,
God...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, but that touches on what we talked about yesterday, that there are lesser forms of evil.
Yes.
And I like what you said. Now, would you consider the reign of Solomon to be a period of good government, or was it just the fact that nobody was getting mad at Israel at that time? They were free of wars. What was so great about Solomon's government?
As a matter of fact, I think Solomon's government was a failure in many ways because, one, they had runaway inflation. He made silver worthless in his era through inflation. And if you when Solomon died and his son took over, Rehoboam, what did the people say to Rehoboam? Lighten our yoke.
Mm-hmm.
And God warned Israel what would happen if they chose a king. When Samuel chose Saul originally, if you remember that, God warned them that the taxes would be high and government would be forcing people to do things. And people would cry out in that day and I'm just going by memory. I don't have the verse in front of me, but it's in 1 Samuel. Go read it. You'll find it.
Read the Old Testament. You'll find it.
You'll find it eventually. So I don't think Solomon's government was a success. And I think just like Adam wasn't a success, but Adam was only a figure of one to come. And I think all these governments are only an illustration of human failure, but it's preparing the world for the government of the Messiah here on earth.
Yeah, we're seeing different levels of failure, different kinds of failure. I mentioned the extreme of not caring, and so I think it's clear from what you and I are both saying that we both care. I mean,
yes.
We want life to be as good as it can be in this world. The opposite of that is to worry excessively and
exactly.
To dive into it, and we all have to find that edge where we can care. We can be concerned that our children not be saddled with debt. You know, we could be concerned that criminals aren't, you know, running in the streets. But yet, on the other hand, if the wheels do come off this thing, which they are going to, we know that we have an expectation reserved for us in the heavens. So let me pursue this route with you, Dan. We talked about the lesser of political evils. You know, let's talk about conservatism versus liberalism. A lot of people get nervous, well, I don't know if they do this with you, when I start talking about politics. They say, stay out of politics. I'm sure that there are a few Obama fans listening and also some people who are, who's the other guy running?
Mitt Romney. Yeah.
It is not about Obama or Romney,
no.
And neither is it about Republicans and Democrats.
No.
What it is about is ideology. Now, again, we're talking the lesser of evils. Republicanism and liberalism are just two containers of an ideology. They're vehicles, they're vessels only for a way of thinking.
Yes.
Now, the way I understand this, you're plugged into this political stuff more than I, not plugged in, but you're smarter than me on these matters. But I'm trying to look for the ideology or for the way of thinking that more closely aligns itself with scriptural principles, because I'm convinced that scriptural principles are commensurate with human principles. In other words, God is going to give us what's best for us as humans. That would be the ideal. Along that line, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 3:10.
Ooh, scripture. I like it.
Yeah, I know. We are going to the scripture. We're only 8 minutes in, and we're already in our first 8 minutes in, 4 minutes left, and we're getting to the scripture.
Well, you got to remember, Peter wrote 2 chapters of introduction before we got to the meat.
I feel a heck of a lot better now.
There you go.
Thanks. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat.
Yeah.
And then in verse 11, Paul says, some of you are walking disorderly. And the way he defines disorderly is, quote, working at nothing.
Yeah.
Now, this is a scriptural principle. If anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat. But it's also a human principle, because your worth, your value is assisted by the work God gives you to do. He gives every one of us something to do. And Paul makes warning after warning in his letters about idleness, about walking disorderly. Now, my beef with the liberal ideology is that if anyone is not willing to work, we'll take from the guy who is willing to work and give it to him.
Yes.
And that is an evil, according to Paul, because Paul says, let there be consequences for not working.
Yes.
But we are, you know, leaning toward a government such as Europe has, the cradle-to-grave nanny state, which says it's fine if you're not willing to work, because we're going to take money from the rich and give it to the poor so that you can keep not working. I mean, Dan, this is human nature. If you give somebody 99 weeks of unemployment, that person is not going to, generally speaking, the majority of people aren't going to even start looking for work until they have a week left.
Yes.
because they're going to just figure out, I'm just going to take this to the end. And if all of a sudden you replenish that, well, we're going to give you 99 more weeks, that's 99 more weeks you're not going to work. So that person is going to eat for not working. And that is against a scriptural principle. It takes away the human desire to achieve. It takes away the human desire to work. I mean, work is good for us. I don't know how many times I've heard you say that. Work is good for us. God gave us meaningful work to do, each of us in our lives.
And that will not cease when we are snatched away. And, you know, people have the idea of heaven as a great retirement program of doing mm-hmm. nothing but sitting up and sipping cognac and watching movies. And
what about the harps? What about the harps?
No harps either. But when we look at work, that the problem we have now is because we live in basically we're mortal beings and sin is in the world, that work isn't satisfying yet. But work, you know, when God, there's nothing worse for somebody to have nothing to do.
Exactly.
Nothing worse. And I've been through that when I was, you know, with my back problems. I had issues where I was laid up for months, and it was awful. It's depressing.
It is.
You're right about the ideas. When people don't work and they're provided for, they have a sense of entitlement. Just to relate a story, I was recently with a gentleman who was a union carpenter in Chicago. And I'm not making an argument here pro or against unions, et cetera, but this just to give you an idea on this principle of not working. We were sitting around a table, and the man said to me, he's been off for 2 years. He hasn't worked in almost, it was just under 2 years, and he never looked for a job. But because of his arrangement and his contract with the city, he didn't have to look for work. And he confessed to me and my wife, who were suffering and could barely pay our bills, here was a guy who said to us, without seeing any shame in it, that he had been taking a vacation for 2 years at taxpayer expenses.
Oh, that's killing.
And within me, I wanted to reach across the table and choke the guy. You know,
I'm surprised you didn't.
I didn't. And again, I realize again where that statement was coming from. But it came from the idea that somebody is owed something by virtue of just being you. People think they have, and this is what we've created in this society: an idea that people deserve stuff.
Yeah.
And now, yeah. Charity is important. You and I recognize that. You know,
absolutely.
My wife and I, we've saved the state of Illinois thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars just by opening our home to people. But we have come to think that the role of government is to do that. And let's face it, though, the reason why government takes care of people today is because people don't take care of each other. They've kind of transferred that. The idea of, you know, helping your neighbor out, and they've transferred that to bureaucracies.
Exactly. It's face-to-face, hand-to-hand helping, and we're back to scriptural principles. We're out of time. I want to take up with this tomorrow, Dan, these scriptural principles, this way of self-governing by the Spirit. I got information for you tomorrow that's going to blow your mind. Are you ready for this? For what I'm going to unload it. Jesus was a reverse redistributionist. I'm going to say that
Ooh.
For tomorrow. Love it. Yeah, you're going to love it. In the meantime, I'm Martin Zender.
I'm Dan Sheridan.
I'm hoping you were. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.